Hang on, I've got earlier this week we had a emergency listeriosis announcement, so an emergency consumer watch. So this will be our second consumer watch in the
week.
That's a first mm-hmm. in history. And yep. But it's still listeriosis, huh?
It's still listeriosis. So on Monday we dealt with, it was very new then, we dealt with the health minister's announcement of the previous day that the listeriosis outbreak source was an enterprise factory, that Polokwane one. And they did an official recall. Well, the Consumer Commission did an official recall of four products: Enterprise Bologna, Frankfurters and Russians, and Rainbow Chicken Bologna. Mm-hmm. It has to be said that the strain that's been found to be responsible, the strain of Listeria found to be responsible for this outbreak, ST6, was not found in the Rainbow Chicken Bologna factory. It was another strain of listeriosis. So it's important to just say that. Mm-hmm. The minister went as far as advising consumers to avoid all ready-to-eat cold meats for now. Enterprise then recalled all its ready to eat cold meats, not just the three that were named in the recall. And I think it's fair to say that at this stage, all brands of all cold meats are being shunned by most consumers. Yeah. Bologna in particular has become the most feared, mocked, and hated of all foods in South Africa. So last we heard, and I quickly checked if there
were... Which is so weird, because it is one of the most ubiquitous foods in this country.
And lunchboxes, and
everywhere.
Sold by vendors.
Corporate sandwiches and lunchboxes. It's all over the place.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Guys, may I just jump in here as well? Wendy, yesterday I heard something, and I wanted to ask you if it was true, that Listeria actually is present in our soil, and there's a low amount of Listeria in almost all our food.
Just about, yeah.
There, it is everywhere, and there are all sorts of strains. The thing to remember, though, is we're focusing on this, the outbreak strain. Mm. It's what's called whole genome sequencing. It's like it's a DNA fingerprint, right? I think we spoke about this on Monday.
Yeah, we did.
So they're able then, through science, through the labs, to actually do the trace, and that's how they got unequivocally, is that the word?
Yeah.
to the enterprise plant. So they found it there. They found it in the food that those bologna sandwiches that the kids who got ill, those the fresh kids got ill eating, they found it in their feces and they found it in the plant. So there you have
your
link.
Line,
so there are all sorts of Listeria is in, I'm told it's in most food factories around the world.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
But we're looking
at the specific one. Okay.
Now, are the numbers?
Okay, I was hoping we'd do an update now, but I'm about to go to another listeriosis workshop in Joburg, and I think we're going to get the update. But for now, it's 948 people who have had it, making it the biggest outbreak
in history,
documented anyway. That's since last January. And 180 of them have died, 79 of them babies less than a week old.
Oh,
okay, so we still haven't heard much, if anything, about any of them. And I certainly have tried so hard to find these people or their families. But luckily, after last Monday's show, or this Monday's show rather, Rose Andrew made contact with us.
Okay.
So she lives in the Flame Lily Retirement Village in Queensborough with her husband, along with her sister, Eileen Drever. Now, Eileen is a 75-year-old widow, and around Christmas time, she still hadn't 100% recovered from the hip replacement op that she had in August. But she was active. She was still living independently in her own apartment, her own flat. She was still driving.
Okay.
So she spent a very happy Christmas day with her sister Rose and her family. But 3 days later, her life changed dramatically. Within hours, on December the 28th, she went from the very first listeriosis symptom, so that's flu-like feverishness and aching muscles, to full-blown confusion, loss of balance, convulsions.
Wow, within hours.
Within hours, yeah. So Rose, her sister, was visiting an ill relative on that morning, and she got some very confused WhatsApp messages from Eileen. So she immediately knew that something was very wrong.
Yeah.
She raced to Eileen's flat. The door was open, which was unusual in itself, and inside, she found a sister that she barely recognized.
I've never seen her in a state like that. That's when I realized there was something wrong. She couldn't talk. She was talking gibberish, and she had these very big, starry eyes.
Sure, frankly.
Okay, so the paramedics came. They found her. She was apparently, Rose says, she was rigid. They had to sort of almost force her into a wheelchair, rushed her to Westville Hospital, where doctors initially thought that she'd suffered a mini stroke.
Yeah.
Remember, this was December the 28th, before the news, before that first press conference in
January.
When the
11th,
minister, they then did a brain scan, and that revealed that she hadn't actually had a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So she was still unable to walk or talk. She had a succession of seizures or convulsions. And finally, a lumbar puncture confirmed that she had listeriosis and the blood tests. So she spent 21 days in the hospital's ICU, her family keeping a vigil at her bedside. Here's Rose again.
With a very strong antibiotic that she was on, that set in confusion terribly. At times she knew who we were. She could name every one of us around her bedside. Then there were other times when she was getting mixed up with daytime and nighttime. It was very, very traumatic to see her going like this.
So Eileen herself has no memory of the day that she fell ill all those first 2 weeks in Westville's ICU. But finally the confusion cleared, and take a listen to Eileen.
I couldn't make out where I was at first, and then I was told that I was in the hospital, but not told that I was in ICU, you know.
Yes.
I was just told I was in the hospital, and then it was explained to me later what had actually happened.
So after ICU, Eileen spent another 2 weeks in the hospital's general ward, having physiotherapy a couple of times a day. And from there, she was transferred to a rehabilitation hospital where she stayed for another month. And finally now, she's back in the retirement village, but sadly not back in her own flat. She's in the frail care facility. Here's Eileen.
It's had a bad impact. I have to have somebody to help me eat because shaking up sticks of food off my spoon and... it's a bit embarrassing. I had to ask them to take me out of the main lounge and into the other dining room.
Yeah, with the other very frail people who can't feed themselves, so she's feeling quite humiliated about that. Walking is still a challenge, so she's confined to a wheelchair most of the time.
When I have tried to walk on my own, quite a couple of times I've had a fall. So I have to have somebody walking with me or behind me, and, you know... It's been hard because I like to be able to get up on my own and walk around. I'm not allowed to do that because of the falls that I've had.
Oh,
no, it's heartbreaking. So Eileen's big goal is to get back into her own flat, and she's at the moment worrying how she's going to pay the 10,000 rand a month that the frail care costs because her medical aid is exhausted. So she's got the financial worry as well, and she's had to give up her car because she's a danger to herself and others.
Shame.
So it's not great.
No, to think this all started because of listeriosis
something
contamination.
She ate, yeah.
Yeah, something innocently, innocuously, she just ate something, and this nightmare happened. Does any idea what was contaminated?
She does have a hunch, and I'll get to that in a bit.
To recap, Eileen Draver.
Draver,
she'd had a hip operation, a successful one.
August.
Now she was up and about, and she was mobile, and she was driving, and she'd had a fabulous Christmas party with the family.
She was not 100%. She'd had a few setbacks, swollen feet and whatever from the op, but that actually, you know, her immunity was slightly down probably, and
that
she was over 65, which is the high risk group. So she was
one of the target groups.
Yeah, she was vulnerable.
But still, the fact is, Eileen, looking forward to her twilight years, and then just gets hit hectically with this listeriosis.
Absolutely. So I spoke at length to her sister Rose, her younger sister Rose, yesterday, and she still finds it really hard to talk about.
She was very independent, yes, at the time. And then she spent Christmas Day with my family, and we had a lovely day. And then 3 days later, this hit her. Mm. It's really been very, very hard. There are times when I have gone home and cried my eyes out. Even talking to you, I get a little bit emotional. Mm. Yeah, it was just very sad to see her going down like that. But you know what? She's come a long way. And I'm just so grateful that she's still around.
And
I hear the stories of the other people
that haven't made
passing on.
Yeah, so Rose wanted me to express her and her family's deepest condolences to the families of those 180 people who have died from listeriosis since January last year, in what has been confirmed, as we said, the biggest outbreak of listeriosis ever recorded in the world.
We can't say that enough, but now I have to ask, did Eileen eat polony or cold meats?
She didn't eat polony. She doesn't like polony, but she did eat ham and other cold meats, such as, you know, sliced beef. Cold meats being food that you don't heat up before you eat because the heat kills the listeria in the food. So those ready-to-eat foods are the high-risk ones. Rose does recall her sister telling her about one incident in particular which happened in early December, I think it was.
when she was in ICU, the health department walked in there and they wanted to speak to her, but of course she couldn't talk at that time. So they pulled me into the office and they asked me 1,000 questions. She had gone for lunch at a certain franchise in Hillcrest, and she had ordered a toasted ham, cheese and tomato sandwich. And when it arrived, she returned it because it was cheese and tomato. And she said, no, I asked for a toasted ham, cheese and tomato. When it came back, she said to her friend, this ham is absolutely ice cold. It has just come out of the fridge and put on the sandwich. But she didn't want to send it back again, so she ate it.
So she thinks that's...
who knows? I mean, unless you have the traceability that we talked about earlier, it's impossible to say. But that came to mind. It could have been that. It could have been anything. It could have been ham that she bought from a supermarket. It could have, you know, as I say, we don't know at this stage.
What is Eileen's prognosis in terms of recovery?
Okay,
right now?
So Rose told me that the doctor had said that her recovery could take around 6 months, and it's only been 2.5 months so far since she fell ill. So she could well reach her goal of living independently in her flat again, and we certainly hope so and wish her the best, and we'll be checking on her progress in the coming weeks.
All right, so to wrap up, being over 65, Eileen was over 65, you're in the high-risk group for listeriosis. Yeah. Just quickly remind us of the others.
Okay, so pregnant women, they are 20 times more likely to get listeriosis than other healthy adults. Children under 5, as in those creche kids who ate their bologna sandwiches in Soweto. People with compromised immune systems, so those who've had organ transplants, those who are HIV positive, so that's a big issue in South Africa, or have cancer or diabetes. Mm. So of the, as we said, of the 180 people who died, 78 of them were babies, or 79 were babies less than a month old. That's around 40%. And someone wrote on Twitter, how can a baby, who feeds a baby of less than a month old bologna? I mean, please, let's
be realistic.
Concentrate here.
Yes,
in utero. So the incubation period, on Monday's show, I said gestation. I'm still blushing about that. So the incubation period is from eating contaminated food to falling ill is anything from 3 to 70 days. 70 days is unusual. It's normally around a month. Mm-hmm. And the death rate is usually 1 in 4, so very high. Mm. And we... Please, it can survive in the fridge, this listeria, but it is killed by heat. And that's why, as I keep saying, the ready-to-eat foods are the ones which are the risk, because you're not heating or cooking them before.
Wendy, I'm going to ask a question. I don't know if you are able to answer this, but this burning and throwing away of food that is apparently contaminated, are you saying that if we cook it, and I mean boil, fry, bake, roast it, it is edible?
Well, it's always edible, but the risk is then then eliminated, because
eliminated.
Well, if you heat it, dies at 70 degrees. Okay, so this food scientists like Dr. Lucia Unleash, who we've quoted all along on this crisis, says don't use a microwave, because microwaves are notorious for uneven heating. So you might have 70 degrees heat steaming on the one end of the piece of whatever, and it's cold in the middle. So don't do the microwave thing. But certainly boiling, frying. I said, Lucia, how does the average person know what 70 degrees is? And she said, well, it's steaming. So when there is steam, then it's done. Yeah. So I'm just passing on. I'm not a food scientist, but I would say that there's a lot of unnecessary waste going on.
Definitely.
If you just cook it.
Yeah.
And no date into fresh chicken or chicken pieces or any of those other things. Rainbow's apparently taking a knock, which is unfortunate, because this is only ready-to-eat issue.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Wendy, for bringing us this information again.
Yes, sorry, long show, but really important, I think.
It's all going to be on our website, ecr.co.za.